Hello, welcome to the Arts Interview. I'm Nancy Kranzberg. Good evening, St. Louis. And good evening, Jonna Jacobson, the editor of December, a literary magazine, which you resurrected. Now, how did this come to pass? Tell us about December, Jonna Jacobson.
December was an iconic publication that was founded in the late 1950s by a group of grad students at the Iowa Writers' Workshop. And then one of them took it with him to Chicago, and then he turned it over to another Iowa grad that was a friend of his named Kurt Johnson, who ran it out of his house in Chicago from 1962 until he died in 2008. And he had stopped publishing it as a journal in the 80s and concentrated on a book imprint that he had also started called December Press.
So, Jonna, I see that you, well, were a writer or are a writer of fiction, and you were a reporter not only for the Riverfront Times, but for the New York Times as well. You want to tell us a little bit about your background, and then we'll jump back into December.
Sure. I worked as a journalist, went to the University of Missouri in Columbia, the journalism school, and worked as a journalist for 20 years and did as much as I could do from St. Louis. And started writing fiction on the side, and I went to the Iowa Summer Writing Festival a couple of times and started working on short stories, and one of my teachers told me that I really needed to go back to school and get an MFA if I wanted to take my fiction writing seriously. So I went to UMSL, got my MFA in December of 2010.
December.
December is a big month for me.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's wonderful. So what can we expect to find in December? Will the average Nancy Kranzberg type of a person who's not all that literary, love to read, understand most of the poetry? The answer is yes, I already read some. But okay. But well, tell us how you choose what's going to be in the...
We choose really just what's best that comes in that somehow speaks to a group of us. I'm not the only reader. We have a group of a panel of readers that are poets and fiction writers and prosists in their own rights, and they're reading and they give us input. We have advisory editors who are mostly established veteran writers who we get to weigh in with their input when we're on the fence about something. But I wouldn't say that there is that you would love everything in it. And that's not really the goal, that somebody would be able to sit down and read it all the way through and love every single thing. It's more that you should be able to find a few things in it. And there's a little bit of something for everybody to be found.
And I love what you said. You always have a father-in-law poem. The reason I know all of this is there was a great article in St. Louis Magazine on Jonna Jacobson. Tell us what a father-in-law poem is, because that fits.
Well, the father-in-law poem concept sort of came about because there are a lot of literary journals, and there's a lot of complaint about readership for them not growing. And yet there's a lot of the same poets and the same kind of poetry and the same kind of prose being published in all of them. And my father-in-law, just using him kind of as a symbolic example, had said he hadn't read a poem that hadn't, since he was in high school, he hadn't read a poem that hadn't been assigned to him. And yet he found poems that he loved in December.
And so
in
did
our
I.
revival issue.
So
Thank
did
you.
I, really and truly.
So the idea is that if there's at least one or two more accessible, more approachable, more understandable poems in each issue that draws a new reader in and makes somebody read, then they're more likely to read what else is going on around it. So there's a possibility of expanding our audience just a little bit for the other fare that's in our pages. And I would say the same goes for the fiction and nonfiction.
Well, how about reading a real short one here that appealed to me by Marge Piercy, The Karma of Heredity?
I'd love to.
I love that
Marge Piercy is one of my favorite writers, and I was thrilled to discover her in one of the very early issues of December, and she's one of our advisory editors. The Karma of Heredity. One morning, my mother's eyes stared out of the bathroom mirror, and no matter how I wiped away the steam, her eyes met what had always been mine. Do I complain like my mother? My life shines so much brighter than hers had the chance. I am freer, could pick a new coat or paint or lover or car I fancied. Yet I hear her voice creep from my throat. There she is, curling inside my cells, in my jeans as they model my aging. I thought I could pick and choose which parts of her to take inside, which to reject, what I feared to become.
crying. Hold on. Woo-hoo-hoo. That one got me. That one, that's really quite. Okay, so we'll switch off and on to Buzz Spector, who's the arts editor, who's one of my favorite artists in town and professors at Washington U. Tell us about what Buzz Spector.
Buzz is great, and Buzz has been key and instrumental in developing the aesthetic of what December is in the modern era. In its original incarnation, December also was originally titled A Magazine of the Arts and Opinion, and it was also known as much known for publishing the emerging work of writer of artists as it was writers. And so when we came back, I had met Buzz once. We had his cousin is a mutual friend, and Buzz had edited a magazine called White Walls in Chicago in the 70s when he was in grad school. And so I called him and asked to pick his brain a little bit, and over coffee at Caldy's, he agreed to serve as our art editor. And so Buzz both solicits artwork for our issues. We have two portfolios of 8 pages each in each issue, each devoted to either a single artist or a theme. And then, of course, we have our cover artwork. Our first cover was done by Doug Dowd, who's also a professor at Washington University, and we commissioned that. But the rest have been solicited by Buzz or submissions that he reviews.
Okay. And then St. Louis really is quite a literary city. I think we've had, 2 poet laureates out of Washington U, Howard Nemiroff and
Mona Van Dyne.
Mona Van Dyne, that's right. And I see that you have a work by our one-time Missouri poet laureate, David Kluhl, out of Webster University. And I love his work. And what did you just say before?
He wins the prize for the longest title of a poem in any issue that we've published.
And the title is?
Since so many people don't seem to know what no soliciting means, I tried to spell it out more fully on my front door.
And then he lists, that's the title.
That's
then
the
he
title.
Lists, no Girl Scout cookies, no this, no
it's a
that.
Great poem.
And somebody comes to the door knocking at the end, and she told him, you forgot to list no prostitutes. I'll just leave it at that. Go get a copy of December Magazine, and you can find out all about David Kluhl's poem. And by the way, where can we get our copy of December?
Well, we're working on getting into bookstores. Right now, they're available through our website, decembermag.org. We recently had a launch event at the Bruno David Gallery on December 7th, where 4 of our contributors read their work. And we have a launch event with each issue, and we sell copies there. And I hope that we will be in St. Louis bookstores soon.
Okay. And then we talked about River Styx is another literary magazine, which is really on the national level. And you talked about December is really a lot more than a local literary magazine,
right.
and you're working to get it really out there.
Our contributors and our subscribers are all over the country and from other countries as well. We have 12 international subscribers. We have a handful of contributors that are not in the U.S., and they're definitely from all over the country. So we're based in St. Louis, and I'm proud of St. Louis to be a base for this emerging community, but our distribution is definitely national.
Well, and of course, one of my spiels is St. Louis is probably the most culturally rich city per capita, just not New York City, it's not Chicago, but we've got it all here. And
we do.
And what you said something about that we were just voted recently.
St. Louis was named the best city in America to be a writer.
Well, you hit the right place.
Tons of readings and literary events every week.
Yes, there are. Well, Jonna Jacobson, thank you so much for coming down by the station here at KDHX 88.1 FM. Thank you for listening to The Arts Interview. For more information about this program, to hear it again, or to download the podcast, go to kdhx.org/on-demand and click on Arts Interview. I'm Nancy Kranzberg. Thanks again to my guest this week. Good night.